Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight as well. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you look with me to the book of John in chapter 6, John in chapter 6, as we'll get back to our study on the life of Peter on Wednesday night. I trust it has been a help and a blessing to you as we've been studying the life of the Apostle Peter. And we spent three messages, three nights, three services on Peter walking on the water. I think that was one of the key events in Peter's discipleship, as well as the discipleship of the other apostles. So we find that tonight Peter just walked on water in the midst of a storm. It ended with worship. As Peter and Jesus got back on the ship, he calmed the storm, and all that were on the ship worshiped him. And what a blessing it is as we go through different trials of life and just learning to acknowledge who Jesus is and worshiping him. Well, Peter is continuing to be discipled by the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's look here in John chapter 6. And if you go ahead and stand with me, we'll read verse 66 down to verse 71. Peter's first public confession of his belief in who Jesus is found here in this passage. And so let's look at verse 66, verse 60. The Bible says in chapter 6 and verse 60, "And many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, 'This is a hard saying, who can hear it?' When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, 'Doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? And then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? And he spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you. Again, we thank you for the opportunity to be in church tonight. And Lord, as we study this passage of Scripture and the discipleship of Peter, I pray that you would help us all to be able to draw from this and be strengthened by it. Pray that you would just empower the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Well, if you look back in chapter 6 and verse 24, we find this is right after Peter walking on the water. And the Bible says in verse 24, "When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus." Now, this is important because when this takes place, Jesus and Peter and the disciples are at Capernaum on the other side of the sea. "And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? And Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." So we find here that now Jesus and the disciples have went back to the land, and they're on the other side of the sea, and they're at Capernaum. And the crowd that was following after him for the wrong reasons found him there. And we find that they came to him, and Jesus addressed them. And then from verse 28 all the way down to verse 59, he focuses on spiritual truths. And as he focuses on spiritual truths, he's trying to help them to understand they should not be seeking after him for what he can do for them and giving them physical food. They should be seeking after him because of what he can do for them and giving them everlasting life. They should be looking to him because of who he is and why he came. But they did not fully understand all of that. If you look in verse 51, the Bible says, I am the living bread. This is what he was teaching them and trying to get them to see this, to move from just being followers after him to being true disciples. And that's, as we look today, there's a lot of religious people. But I would hate to see just how many that claim to be religious, if they're truly saved or not. A lot of people's in church today, and even still in church in the United States of America, this Christian nation, but are they in church for the right reasons? Are they truly seeking to become genuine disciples of Jesus Christ? And sometimes even in our own independent fundamental Baptist churches, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching. I wonder from time to time how many is really wanting to be true disciples of Jesus Christ. And I think that's where we find Peter and the disciples and what Jesus is doing in truly discipling them. And so he says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Now, they actually were following after him for the physical food, the bread that he had given to them. But he's trying to get them to see that there's much more. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Much more important. And so this was taking place in the next event in the life of the Apostle Peter and his discipleship. And then we find in verse 60 to 66, his followers, those that were just following, and the Bible, in the English translation, it mentions disciples, but it would not be the same as the 12 apostles, the disciples. When referring to both, he will talk about the 12 or the multitudes that would have been following after him. And so as we read the context and of the scriptures here, we find that those that had been following him, seeking after a free meal, seeking after anything and a lot of other things other than truly seeing him as the bread of life, being the Messiah, the Christ. So his followers separated themselves from his true disciples. And the reason was there was too much emphasis on the spiritual instead of the physical. He was trying to get them to that place where they have a spiritual understanding of God and his will and sacrifices that would need to be made if we are going to accomplish the things that God has us here to accomplish, starting with Jesus Christ himself, how that he would have to sacrifice. He would be the ultimate sacrifice as he would go to the cross of Calvary. And even knowing that, they would still need to follow him as the apostles would. He was preparing them for that. Sometimes, and of course, we've been pastoring this church for 35 years, and it's been a blessing, but there's been a lot of those that have come that wanted to come for the wrong reasons. And you get focused on the spiritual, and they don't have the spiritual desires. And they get upset when their children are starting to become more spiritual than their parents. And they get upset when their children are thinking about surrendering their life to serve God and maybe even go to the mission field if that would be God's will for their life. And you don't see them anymore. They separate themselves from that which is truly the will of God. Verse 67. Now realize, Jesus is discipling Peter, and we're looking at all the apostles that he's preparing, but we're focused on Peter because this study is the life of Peter. And Peter really was the key to the other disciples, the other apostles. And so we find here that as Jesus addresses the 12, then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will ye also go away?" He knew what was going to take place when he would present that spiritual truth to just the followers. When he presented that sacrifice to those that was coming for just the bread, for the free meal. He knew what they would do, and he was using that. Because now they're gone, and the only ones who are there are the 12 that he has personally chosen, and even one of them, he knew him to be, but even one of them, the Bible reveals to us, is the devil, the son of perdition. And so in verse 67, a part of true discipleship is knowing why you're in church. True discipleship is knowing why you want to read your Bible. True discipleship is knowing why you take the stands that you take. True discipleship is knowing why that you want to live a separated life. That you want to understand biblical truths. And as you understand biblical truths, you have a desire to make an application of that biblical truth into your life, whether it be individually or whether it be parenting or whether it be in a marital relationship or whatever it might be. Once you understand it's the will of God, no matter what the sacrifice needs to be, we are wanting to do that because I want to be a genuine disciple of Jesus Christ. Too often, though, that separates the followers from true discipleship. Now, that's not for us to judge. It's not for us to say, well, that person there, they're just a follower, and they're not a true disciple, because they're not dressed like me. And you make yourself the standard. Well, I don't see them in church as often as I'm in church. And go on and on and on. Listen to me, we're not the standard. And we're not the judge of somebody else. Christ is the standard. And we are to judge ourselves concerning that standard. So he says, after they see the others leave, and now there's just the 12 of them, no doubt Judas would have been one that wanted to side with the others that had left, but he did not because he knew he was chosen. He was with the 12. "Will ye also go away?" And they would have to answer that question. Why are you still here? Why do I identify myself with an independent fundamental Baptist church? Amen? Yeah. This would be Peter's first public confession of what he truly believed. I love it. Verse 68. "Then Simon Peter answered him." And the first thing he said is, "Lord." Lord. He acknowledges Jesus as Lord of his life. He acknowledges Jesus as worthy as being the one that he is following. He wanted to be a disciple of his. He had observed him. He knew him to be who he truly was. And he says, the first thing is, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Once you know the truth, how can you go somewhere that's not preaching the truth? Once you know the truth, how can you live in opposition to it? Once you know the truth, if you're a true disciple, then you are, no matter what the sacrifice, no matter what you have to do, but you know it to be truth, and if it is truth, I want to apply it to my life. And that's something that every individual needs to look at themselves to find out, am I truly a true disciple of Jesus Christ? Am I willing to apply whatever it is that he reveals to me as being true? You have and are truth. I can't imagine being anywhere else. I can't imagine identifying with any other church or religious group. I can't imagine that because I know him to be true. I know that this church that I'm attending, the church that I'm a member of, is standing upon the very words of Jesus Christ. I understand this is the church where Jesus is the head of the church. How can I ever go to anywhere where Jesus is not the head of the church and they are not focused on the words that he has revealed to us? The truth. How can I turn away from a King James Bible to another so-called Bible when I know that we're to live by every word? And the two do not match up on the same word. That which is different is not the same. If I know that he wants me to have the word and I can look in history and I can understand that the church I'm attending has focused on the word and that being the authority of the church, how could I ever go somewhere where they did not have that truth? Yeah. You have and are truth. You are the way, you are the truth, and you are the life. Where else are we going to go? Spoken as a true disciple. Not only that, he didn't stop there, but he goes on to say, and we believe and are sure. See, when I walked on water, that gave me an assurance I might not have had before. When I saw you feed the 5,000 and I seen what you used to feed the 5,000, I'm sure. How can I erase those times? How can I erase that truth? How can I just block that out? I cannot do that. I am sure. I know you to be. We believe and are sure that thou art that Christ. Now, who is that Christ? The Messiah. They believed him to be the fulfillment of the Old Testament Messiah. They believed that. And they had the entire Old Testament to give them the assurance that he is. And he revealed to them from the Old Testament. He's just now establishing New Testament. So he revealed to them from the Old Testament that he was that Messiah. Today we have not only the Old Testament and the witness of Jesus Christ and the life that he lived, but we have the entire New Testament. How can we walk away from that? How could we ever go anywhere else where they didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah? The Christ. He even goes a little bit farther here. Thou art that Christ, the Son, capital S, of the living God. You're God. You're God the Son. You are God who is manifested in the flesh and stands before us. We understand that because you've taught us that. You are discipling us, and what you have taught us we know to be truth. He's deity. Where else are you going to go? How could you go anywhere else that did not have this kind of message? Yeah, true disciple. Matter of fact, later on, after, and this was discipling him, but this is what he was discipled to preach. In Acts in chapter 4, Peter now is preaching, and he says in verse 10, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is a stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." I think he became a true disciple. Jesus was preparing him for that very thing. And he had it. Now, he would go through some things, and we'll be studying that at a later day. But at this point, it's his first public confession of his belief in who Jesus was and is. Can I tell you that Jesus wanted not only Peter, but he wanted all of them to know that they had a free will. He nor the Father would force any against their will. And Jesus answered in verse 70, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" And he spake of Judas Iscariot. There was a multitude saying that they believed and they were following, but they were coming for the food. And when Jesus started teaching spiritual truths and started presenting a sacrifice and things that would take place, they all left. Except for the true disciples. And he wanted them to know why they stayed. Because they had a free will to join the other crowd? Or they had a free will to stay. Amen? Do you know that's the truth with the church? We have no control over somebody staying a member of this church. We have no control over anyone in what they truly believe. Now, if they go opposite the church, they can no longer be a member of the church. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, but you have a choice. We're going to present the truth. You choose whether you believe it. But if you know the truth, how could you go somewhere that's not preaching the truth? I've seen that happen all too often. I'm thinking, how? How could you stay in that kind of environment when you know there's not genuine worship and it's not preaching the truth and they're not doing the work of Christ and they... No matter what's on the sign out in front. I think that everyone needs to understand why I'm in church. I think everyone needs to understand why I'm an independent fundamental Baptist. I often say, and you've heard me say this many a times, it's the Bible that makes me Baptist, amen? And the Bible's never going to change. Well, we find that Peter, it's recorded a second time, Peter's confession. Now, that's the first time, 2 months later. 2 months later, turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. Now, some look at this as the very same account. It's not the same account. It's about 2 months later. We know this because of where he's at now. He's not in Capernaum. He's at Philippi. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he's not in Capernaum. It's not the same. It's about 2 months later. It's important to understand that because it's important to know that Jesus wanted them to confess with their own mouths what they believe. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" He asked because he knew that they needed to say it. They needed to know what they believed. Was it based on what everybody else was saying about Jesus? Are you persuaded by the crowd? If the church, and I would say over my dead body, would ever get away from this King James Bible, would ever take Baptists off of the sign, would stop preaching the word and presenting standards by which every believer ought to live by. If that changed, would you stay? You would have to make a decision, and this is happening all around the country. Baptist churches are changing, and different men who are not of the same mindset of the past and the history of Baptists and understanding the Word of God, and they're being taken on churches, and they are leading their churches to change the name to a more genetic friendly name, the creek, the stone, the bathtub. Who knows? And the people have to make a decision. This happened several years ago at a church I won't mention on Greenwood, a large church. And the leadership that had taken over to address the congregation said, "We are changing. If you don't like it, leave." That's evil. That's wicked. The people that built the church, the people that have served God there to have a Baptist church, and a leadership gets up and says, "Like it or not, this is the way we're going. If you don't like it, leave." I would not want to stand before God and give an account for that, I guarantee you that. But it's happening. Who do men say? Are you in agreement with what everybody else is saying about God and the Bible? And they said, "Well, some say that you're John the Baptist." That's a compliment for anybody but the Messiah. To be identified with the great John the Baptist? Some Elias or Elijah. That's a compliment. What a powerful man of God Elijah was. Unless you're the Messiah. It's just one thing to think highly of Jesus. Another thing to give him the worship due who he is. And some say Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, or another one of the prophets. Spake highly of a man. Religion will speak highly of a man called Jesus. They might even teach Bible stories. But whom say ye? Is that good enough? Is that what you really? He wanted them to know what they believed. If they're going to be true disciples, you have to know what you believe. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Now you know what's going around. You know where religion is in the world, and you know what's happening all around you. Are you going to buy into that? Is that going to be part of who you are? Whom say ye that I am? It's important that true disciples know what we believe and say it. Even hear ourselves say it. Simon spoke up and answered and said, this is the second time that he would publicly confess what he believed. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm not going along with just the religious crowd. I'm following you as the Messiah. Of my free will, understanding sacrifices that I will need to make, I'm following you. See, disciples, one of the first things that a true disciple will learn to do is you learn to pray. And Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. And what they are to do in every prayer is understand who you're praying to. And you, with your own mouth, say, Our Father, which art in heaven. Because we need to know that we have a heavenly Father that loved us enough to send his only begotten Son. When you become a disciple, you understand about prayer. And because of prayer, and you have followed the teachings of Christ concerning prayer, we are made aware by ourselves every day in acknowledging our Heavenly Father. And oh yes, that's how we begin our prayer. And we end our prayer in Jesus' name. You might not even realize that, but as a true disciple, and you understand prayer because Jesus discipled us through the Bible, and he discipled his 12 apostles on how to pray, and we are reminding ourselves every time we pray of who we're praying to. We have a living heavenly Father, and we have a Savior that gives us the ability to come into the very holy of holies in the presence of a Father. We need to hear ourselves. If you're not praying as you ought to pray, listen to me, you'll not stay where God wants you to stay. When I get in my prayer closet, because I need to hear myself say it, I'll acknowledge the entire Godhead. I bow before God and I say, I worship and I praise you as being God, the great I am, my heavenly Father. I worship and I praise you as being God, the Son, my Savior and my Lord Jesus. I need to hear his name. I need to speak his name. And I worship and I praise you as being who you are, my comforter, the Holy Spirit of God. He's my Father. He's my Savior. He's my Comforter. And every time I hear myself say that, that does something for my faith. Jesus asked them because he wanted them to say it. He wanted them to hear themselves say what they believed. When's the last time you said what you believed? Because in true discipleship, we learn to pray, then we learn to witness. We learn to witness. That's why we're here. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, that's why we're here. What happens when you witness? Not only does it help somebody that hears you witness and to possibly come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, it helps you to hear yourself witness. There's been many times that I started witnessing to somebody and talking to somebody, helping somebody, and I'm amazed at what comes out of my mouth. I'm thinking, thank you, God, for allowing me to articulate those words. I didn't realize I knew it as well as I presented it. Have you ever been there? When you want to be used of the Lord and you want to bring God into a certain situation or a circumstance with somebody else, and you sit down with them and you try to help them to understand, and you amaze yourself. Because the Spirit of God is helping you and bringing things to mind so that you can be used. And when you walk away, you think, wow. I didn't know I could do that. I didn't know that I knew that. But you do know it. And you help yourself by speaking it. True disciples, you see, I think when you, I think you kind of move even to another level. Because if you don't give out, you're going to stop looking to take in. And sometimes the problem with some believers, they're not giving out. And if you could see your spiritual self, you're about this big around, just sitting in a pew. Which you might think that would be something, but listen to me, no. You need to be fit as a Christian. Give it out. That's when it comes time to start teaching. I started by teaching Jet Cadets children's ministry because I just have to get it out. You know what I found when I started teaching children? I started growing faster than I've ever grown in my entire life. Because before I would teach it, I had to learn it. I had to make sure that I knew that I was not teaching heresy. Because I did not want to stand before a pastor and give an account for teaching heresy. You don't want to stand before Andy and give an account for teaching heresy, amen? He oversees the junior church. But listen to me, at some point, we need to even start teaching the Word of God. And as you start teaching the Word of God, you will grow. You will learn more than what you can ever teach. And at some point, it might be that God would have you to start preaching. Might be scary now. Not saying you have to become a pastor. That's not always the case. But he might have you start preaching in a Sunday school class. Preaching in a junior church setting, preaching at a missions, preaching at a nursing home, because you'll be amazed. The preparation that you put into in preparing to, if you truly are saved and you want to do what God's will is for your life and you want to do what God has for you and get out what God's message is for your people, you will spend time praying for those people that you're getting ready to preach to. Saturday night becomes something very special to me. And it's not, I don't prepare my messages on Saturday night. I prepare me by thinking of you. And realizing, going through the membership list and realizing the need of the Lighthouse Baptist Church family. And they're going to come and they're going to expect to hear from God. And I'm not God. But I have a position that he's called me to. When you get to that place, and you pray over that Sunday school class, you know, they come in there, especially picking up kids on the bus ministry. You don't know what they've just been through that weekend. You know what kind of abuse. You don't realize it. You're the only hope that they have. And you prepare yourself. And you go in there ready to give them God's message. And you will grow and learn far more than what you can ever get out. Because God wants you to learn to say it. God wants you to hear yourself say it. Jesus wanted to hear Peter because he knew that Peter needed to hear Peter say it. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou," after he heard Simon Peter say it. "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven." You have a meeting with God the Father, and now you are teaching and preaching and witnessing and praying in his name. It'll make a difference. It'll make a difference. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Jesus wanted Peter to know, and the other apostles, the true disciples, to know what they truly believed. Do you know? When's the last time you heard yourself say it? Maybe it's time. Not going to give a musical invitation. There's always an opportunity to make a decision. God spoke to you tonight, and where you're at, you want to come to the altar, whatever might you might need to do. We need to hear ourselves. We really do. Father, we bow before you. Thank you, Lord, for what we've studied and Peter's public confession of what he believed. I pray, God, that we would likewise follow in the very same discipleship as you would have us to confess what we believe. Help each one to do what you would have them to do to draw closer to you, to grow in their discipleship, their walk with you. Now watch over us, Father, as we get ready to dismiss. And I know the weather's a little bad outside. And I just pray that you put a protective hand upon each one that's here. Get us all home safely tonight. And help us to return at the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.